All right, welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show on this Tuesday, right here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know. President held a meeting with a number of education officials today and said he will urge governors around the country to open schools this fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics has already said it's very important to get kids back in school. The whole idea behind a lot of this, I think, is just try and return to some sense of normalcy in this country. Now, will we go back to where we were, or are we looking at a new normal? And is there a possibility that COVID-19 is pushing America toward a better future? Let's talk about that right now with my next guest. His name is Joel Kotkin, professor of urban studies at Chapman University. He's been on the show before, always a great guest. Joel, how are you? And welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Joel, you wrote a rather lengthy article about this, the idea that this virus may be pushing America toward a better future. Explain that, if you would.
Okay, I mean, there are obviously many negatives to this, but one of the positives is I think Americans are beginning to recognize that they really do not have to live in the kind of high-density environments that the planners and many of the pundits have been urging them, and I think it's also increased a couple of really interesting things. One has been the greater emphasis on family. I mean, one of the things the pandemic has done is that, you know, this single, you know, you live by yourself kind of lifestyle doesn't work in a crisis. Okay, I mean, I sometimes get interviewed by, you know, some young journalist who's, you know, living in Stuyvesant Town in Manhattan, has been in a studio apartment for 3 months. That's not exactly an ideal situation. People begin to realize if you're in a stable community with a little bit of space, maybe with a backyard, that it's much, much better. So I think there's that. And the other thing that's really interesting is I'm working on a big project on the future of the Jewish community, but I think I'm finding it's applying to other ones, that religious communities, which were really sort of dying, I mean, generally speaking, religion was not doing well. A lot of temples and churches were, you know, pretty empty. So a lot of them were closing. This has become a new breath of life for the religious community. You know, we had our synagogue, we had a meeting of the congregation with like 400 people. I don't think I've ever seen 100 people. I know that many of the Christian churches are reporting double, triple, three times as many. Now, what it's going to do, it's going to be a competitive environment. You know, I'm not just going to go to this church because it's close to me. If a church 10 miles gives me more what I want, I'm going to do that. And what we're noticing is, for instance, in Judaism is a particularly scholarly oriented religion. You know, religious studies programs. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. He said, well, we used to get 50 people to come to a Torah study. Now we get 400 people to the Torah study. So, in other words, there are ways in which this pandemic is forcing us or getting us to think about things that really matter as opposed to those that don't.
Joel, I'm intrigued by a couple of things you said, and I want to start with this idea of recognizing the importance of the family. Over the weekend, I started the show yesterday talking about the July 4th weekend, and you know that I was kind of bored. I missed being able to go to a parade or a fireworks show, but at the same time, my wife put together a wonderful celebration for our sons and their wives and our grandchildren. It really was all about family.
Right.
How long do you think that's going to last?
Well, I think that I really can't be sure, but let me say this. I think that many people, but for instance, many young people have now moved back with their parents. You know, I find a lot of people I know who live in, let's say, New York or Boston, now going to live with their parents, and they begin to say, you know, they're not all that bad, you know, and that having a family in the midst of an economic crisis, think about how many young people have lost their jobs in this pandemic. And you know, many of those jobs are probably never going to come back. Having a family to rely on, I think, it's going to be something that, you know, we're going to sort of move back towards. I mean, if you think about the 1930s, there was, people really relied on the family. I talked to my mother growing up in Brownsville, New York, which I won't quite use her colorful language on your show, but but she said it was a crappy neighborhood then, and it's a crappy neighborhood now. But she said, but we didn't know. I had, you know, she had five brothers and sisters that living in you know, really in the slums, but that everybody knew everybody. Everybody helped everybody. Everybody, you know, looked out for everyone. Even the gangsters who were quite prominent in that neighborhood. They never killed anyone who didn't deserve it, and she could. She said, "I could walk across the park in the middle of the night and have no worries." There was a greater sense of community, and I think that's going to come out of it. And I think what's also going to come out of this is those communities with very strong social cultures are going to come out of this better. They're going to be healthier. They're going to be better places to live. You know, Wallace Stegner, who was not an LDS member, but yeah. was a you know, but a great writer in my mind. He said, "Look, if I was going to live in a disaster, I want to be where the LDS members are. That's where I want to be." Because, you know, and it's the same sort of thing that I think we're going to have to realize. I mean, it's something that we're going to realize that this support from family and community and having, like for us, when I remember when our when this all started and you couldn't get flour, it was not around.
You
remember that?
Yeah.
Our next door neighbor heard my wife talk. She came over and left a bag of flour on the front door. You know, I am so appreciative of our neighborhood and the people in our neighborhood and how they obey the laws, they social distance, they wear masks. You know, but they'll help you out. They'll help you out, and I think we've got to get back to those sort of traditional values that I think have been lost in the last, you know, 20, 30 years.
Joel, I want to ask you. I remember after 9/11, for a few days after 9/11, I thought we were kinder to each other. We spoke in softer tones to each other, and we were respectful of each other. The nation had just gone through something that we'd never experienced before. We were under attack, a little bit like Pearl Harbor, but this was on the mainland, and I felt we were a little bit kinder, maybe gentler to each other. I don't get that sense during all of this that we are so divided that we can't find that common ground. Am I wrong?
I hope you are. I do think that, unfortunately, we are in a period where, you know, the president of the United States is not exactly a uniting figure, let's put it that way, you know, and the response to him has been so harsh and sometimes so almost irrational that it's very, very difficult. But I find that people on a day-to-day basis are much kinder, much more. I see so many signs in my neighborhood thanking the essential workers. You know, my older daughter is an essential worker in Tucson, and she says people come to her, they think, you know, thank you very much for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's taking a risk every day she goes to work. But you know what? If you didn't have her, you know, she loads stuff on trucks at Home Depot. If she wasn't there, you know, people couldn't fix their homes. And so I think there is a certain possibility that we will get through this. I mean, I personally think that, you know, the political aspect is terrible, and I think the media, frankly,
hasn't helped.
Because they hype things up so that, you know, people on the right have tended to underestimate the threat, and people on the left overestimate it so that they can have a depression and get rid of Trump. I mean, it's literally, you know, it's sort of disease. But I wonder on the personal level, at the level of the individual, the family, the community, we may be closer to each other than others believe. There's some very good work being done and has been done by Sam Abrams over at Sarah Lawrence, doing it for AEI. He says that the differences from different parts of the country on most things are not nearly what we think they are.
Interesting. Joel, as always, great conversation. Thank you for a few minutes of your time tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, okay. Joel Kotkin. He is a professor of urban studies at Chapman University, and Joel says he makes some points. He says, you know, we realize the importance of family. For many people, it's been a spiritual reawakening. We are kinder to each other, believe it or not, and I've noticed that as well. And I want to open up the phones to you. Have you noticed a difference in America? Because I still think there's a divide But I find myself sometimes saying to someone who's at the grocery store in the checkout line, and they're checking me out, saying, "Hey, thanks for being here and doing that." Or at a restaurant I go to, "Hey, thank you for being here and allowing me to enjoy a meal outside the house." Are we being pushed toward a better future as a result of all of this? 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010, or on your cell phone, dial pound 250 and say, "Hey, Rod," we'll get to your calls and comments coming up on the Rod Arquette Show.